Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6. As Pastor read, or as the gentleman read from Ephesians 4, our theme this summer is called Tournament of Champions. There's a brochure on the back table, and it's going to be a medieval theme. And with that theme, kind of the idea that we're going to be focusing, and we're going through the book of Ephesians, as with the campers, we're really focusing on chapter 6. And we're going to be talking about the armor of God. And so I want to share a message with you. I have it entitled, Be Prepared for the Enemy. Be prepared for the enemy. The United States entered into World War I in April of 1917, nearly 3 years after the hostilities broke out between Central and Allied powers in Europe. It says then, this article, America was not well prepared to enter into that war. In Seattle, after the registration, the first draftees were chosen by lot in the fall of 1917. The commander of the National Guard said he long preached the gospel preparedness, but it was said about these soldiers they were not properly prepared. 1917. In 2002, after the 9/11 incident, the President Bush got up and he said that as we go into war, we will be well prepared. And as a result, we know that they were well prepared and our soldiers have been well prepared as we face all these conflicts in the world. But the battle we want to talk about today, we see in Ephesians chapter number 6. Look what it says in verse 10 as we start. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, in other words, he gives us this statement, wherefore, what do we need to do? Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so what I want to look at is how well we are prepared for the battle that we need to face on a daily basis. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And God, we thank you that we can look into your word and be challenged and encouraged and helped. And direct our thoughts now that we can be prepared for the battle that's before us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about this preparation, first of all, according to the Bible here, he talks about that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We must identify our enemy. And so what is our enemy? The Bible calls him the devil. He says that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil means accuser. The devil is also called Satan, which means adversary, because he is the enemy of God. Matthew 4:3 describes Satan as the tempter. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. In John 8:44, it refers to him as a liar. It says that ye are of your father, the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He is a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so he's a liar. In 1 Peter 5:8, it describes him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so our fight is against the devil. And we need to recognize that. And so as it describes it in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That would be easy. But against principalities of powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a battle. And as we look at our society today and to see the things that people are continuing to do, we have to recognize that we're born sinners, we have a sin nature, and we're in a battle against the devil. And you put all that together, and it's like, man, how can we ever win? But you know, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he's the one that gives us the opportunity to have the victory through Jesus Christ. One of the great things I love about being at camp is we get to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I remember as I was thinking about going to camp, having been a youth pastor for 21 years, I love being in the youth ministry, sharing the gospel. I was talking to evangelists. He said, Randy, one of the big differences going to camp versus youth ministry is you only have the kids for 1 week. They come, but you have a focus on where you're presenting the gospel. And you get to see people saved. And that was exciting to me. But what's been all more exciting is to see the kids that have come to camp, that have gotten saved at camp, and now come back and serve as counselors at camp. What a blessing. What a joy. In our church in Barron, one of the gentlemen, he's the youth leader there, Pete Fedick, he mentioned that his mother had passed away. And almost 100 years of age, but they mentioned this in the testimony last Sunday night in our church, that his mother, as a 12-year-old young lady, got saved at Camp Shatek. And then another lady stood up and said she knew this lady, and she said that they've had a lot of influence between their children and their grandchildren and their grandchildren. Over 100 people affected by one person's decision at Camp Shatek to trust Christ as their Savior. And you know, when you stop and think about your life, where was the point in your life where we recognize I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? For me, it was at a camp. It was in Michigan, Lake Ann, Michigan, as an 11-year-old boy. That's where I came to the knowledge of my sin, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I wish I could say, since that time, now some 40-some years later, life's been just great. But there's been a battle. And it's a constant battle. We're faced in that battle because we have an enemy that's real. And so what I want to look at is what he gives us in the scriptures is some ways to deal with this enemy. And he gives us what he calls the armor of God. And so I want to look at this and see these pieces that we can take some truths from. Many of you have heard about these, but just practically apply how I can go through my day on a daily basis prepared for the enemy that's before me. So let's look at that. Start at verse 14. He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Your loins girt about with truth. Many have called this what would be the belt of truth or the girdle of truth. And so what he describes this is truth. It says a Roman soldier put on his armor. Before he did, he put on a heavy leather belt around his waist. In that day, soldiers would wear the long tunics covered much of the body, yet in hand-to-hand combat, you didn't want this long tunic to get in your way, so you would tuck it into your belt. It was mostly hidden from view because it went underneath the armor, and it connected all the pieces together so that the soldier had both flexibility and a way to keep everything tied together. It was also a place to hang his sword. And so the belt was very, very important part of that soldier. And you know what's interesting here? What it says, it's girt about with truth, or the belt of truth. And so as a person comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we recognize there's still that sin nature, and we still wrestle with that battle of telling the truth. Why is it so easy to tell a lie? Let me ask you, who taught you how to tell lies? For me, it was my sister, okay? For my little brother, he blamed me, okay? But who taught you how to lie? You know, it wasn't lying 101. But if I were to ask you, while you were in grade school, how many of you told a lie? Okay, now don't raise your hands, okay? But we were liars by nature. Then as a Christian, now we're supposed to have a new nature, and we still wrestle with that, but be one that tells the truth. I was reading an article about why people lie. And basically it was, you know, one was to protect themselves. One was because they didn't want to get in trouble. And I remember as a boy, there was my older sister, myself, and my younger brother, three of us. We grew up in Michigan. And we had one of those vacuum cleaners that you could press the little lever on the bottom and the cord would retract into it. It's really cool, okay? And so then you'd pull it out. And ours was getting a little bit older. My dad said, "Now be careful," because he didn't want the end to fly off. But I didn't listen. So I'd pull it out, I'd press the button, the cord would retract. It was so cool, I kept doing it. And all of a sudden I was pressing the button, the cord went in, and the end flew off. And now the cord's inside. You can't use it. No problem. I'll stick the vacuum cleaner in the back of the closet and no one will ever know, okay? Stupid me, okay? So a week later, when it was time for my brother or sister to vacuum, they're looking for the vacuum cleaner. "Where's the vacuum cleaner?" "I don't know." Lie, okay? And then they pull it out and the end's missing. What happened? "I don't know," okay? I was lying to protect myself. As a little kid, I thought I could get away with it. And then Dad came home. And with three of us, it was pretty easy to figure who did it. And so I remember getting in trouble. I remember getting disciplined for that. We won't talk about that. But I'll never forget it, as you can remember. I'll never forget. I was trying to lie to cover up everything. I didn't want to get in trouble. That's how the devil works. He wants us to be liars. And I know that what he's saying here, focus every day. Put on that belt of truth. I am going to tell the truth today, regardless of the situation. We need to be truthful. And we want it to be where people can trust you. And when you're going through some challenges and so forth, that people can trust you and they know that you tell the truth. And so he says, put on the belt of truth. That's where he starts. And then also in verse 14, it says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate here? The piece of armor was made of metal plates or chains, covered the body from the neck to the waist, both front and back. The breastplate of righteousness protects the soldiers. I think of the model, do right, needs to be that model. The piece of armor was designed to protect the heart. The Bible says, for as the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so it's to protect the lungs, the heart, the intestines, and the other vital organs. And so this breastplate of righteousness was just kind of to protect the vital organs of the body, but keeping them so they could do the right thing. And so as we think about, we're going into this battle, and we're in a battle against the devil. Does the devil want us to do right or do wrong? Wrong. And so we need to set a goal. I'm going to do right. I've got this breastplate of righteousness. It's going to help me. It's going to protect me. It's going to protect these vital organs that I might do the right thing. And I don't know what the challenge is before you today or this week, but we're always challenged to do maybe not the right thing. And so he says, let's set a goal. We're facing an enemy. Let's set a desire. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to make the right decision. And that's just a prayer that we need to have every day of our life, that I might do the right thing. And then as we continue on, he says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The right type of footwear. The Roman soldier wore sandals and hobnails in the soles to give him better footing for the battle. It says many of the battlefields were kind of like almost dirt and sometimes muddy. And so they would have to put in these kind of spikes so they get good traction. It's funny, this year we have our winter retreat, and they start out the second week of January, our men's retreat. We had absolutely no snow at Camp Chautauqua, nothing. We had ice on the lake so we could do some activities. The next weekend was a teen retreat, still no snow. And so someone gave us the idea, well, we needed to have something tubing, so they said, what about if you ice down what's called the luge run? And so the guys worked Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And it's funny, a week later we got a note from the city of Chautauqua. It said, you've used an unusual amount of water. And we thought, do we have a leak? And then someone said, no, we put 10,000 gallons of water to make our luge run. It was really cool, okay? And it went really fast. But again, second week, no snow. And then we get to the third event. And that's the winter carnival, where you've got to have snow for other things. And so, unpredicted, they did not predict this, but on Thursday, we got 1.5 inches snow. So Eric and the seasonal staff, they went out on the lake and they plowed all the snow from the bay towards the shore. And then they snowblowed it up the hill so we could have a tubing hill, okay? And but all that time, the lake was frozen. It was just a glare of ice. And so my wife had bought these for me a couple years ago, but they're spikes that go on the bottom of your boots. And so I put those on because I'm getting old and I didn't want to fall down on the ice. But I put those on and it was cool. You could walk around and not worry about falling. And I thought about that with the soldier. Having good footing so they could go into the battle. He says here that your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the soldier had to have good feeding so he could get around, get where he needed to go. And I thought about this. As Christian, God wants us to take the gospel message where we go. And then we might be prepared. And it's interesting, he talks about this, the gospel of peace. In our society today, are people looking for peace? Are they looking for something that will bring peace and joy to their heart? And here's the great news. We have soldiers of Jesus Christ. We have the good message. We have the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the good news that can change a heart, to change a life. And yet, so many times we're not doing what God wants us to do. And so the soldier needed to be prepared so he could go, his feet could take him to share the gospel message and to share a track and to share what God is doing in hearts and lives. And so the soldier prepared with his feet. Then look at the next one, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Again, we recognize he's referring to the devil. The fiery darts of the wicked, basically put the dart or the arrow in and get it on fire, and they would shoot it at the enemy, again, trying to destroy the enemy. And you and I need to recognize the enemy is out to destroy us. But what does he say here? This is kind of neat. He talks about this shield. It was a large, usually about 4 feet by 2 feet, made of wood and covered with tough leather. As a soldier, he held it before him and protected him from spears and arrows and fiery darts. Now, this is neat. The edges of the swords were constructed so that an entire line of soldiers could interlock their shields and march into the enemy like a solid wall. Think about this. In your life as a Christian, he wants you to have the shield of faith. There's one thing, faith to trust Christ as your Savior, but there's a faith to live each day trusting Christ. But the part I thought was neat was this shield of faith to help protect us. It wasn't so we just stand alone. It was designed so these shields could be interlocked with a person next to you, and you could interlock the shields so that you go to the battle kind of as a team. And I thought about that. You know, so many times in our life we think, woe is me. I'm here all by myself. I'm the only one going through these trials. I'm the only one going through these struggles. And you know what I think he reminds us is we need that shield of faith. But there's others that we can link up with that can be a help to us, can be an encouragement. Maybe you, as that soldier today, can find a soldier that's struggling and say, hey, can I be a help to you? Can I encourage you? Let's let our faith be strong together and go through this trial and this tribulation together. It's a battle, and God wants us to work together. So are you taking that shield of faith, trusting God, and say, how can I also be an encourager to one another? It's a joy to go to local churches, to come into a church, and I don't know all of you, I've met some of you, but to recognize the goal and purpose of a local church, obviously preach the gospel, to encourage one another. And today, think about this, coming to church today, this morning, this evening, are you an encourager to someone? Someone that's struggling and has a need out there, you get an opportunity to reach out. Make sure your faith is strong and encourages someone else in the faith and encourage them this day. And so take the shield of faith. And then he says in the next part of this, in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. It's interesting, the helmet was made of thick leather, covered metal plates. Some were of heavy molded and beaten metal. They usually had cheek pieces to cover the face, so it was over the head, the sides of it. But the soldier had this. Obviously, you got to protect the head, protect the mind. And I think about this as a soldier, as he had that helmet on, that way he could keep his eyes up, looking at the enemy, looking at where he's going. And think about this. In order for you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you have to have 100% assurance in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Don't doubt your salvation. One of the things we deal with at camp is some kids that come and they're struggling with assurance of salvation. And we teach our staff, when you deal with someone regarding assurance of salvation, help them understand that it's based upon God's word, trusting his word. But you have to have that assurance of salvation if you're going to go through your Christian life and enjoy the victory Christ has for you. And so I think it was important that the helmet of salvation allowed them to keep their head high, looking for the enemy, confidence that they were going to be a good soldier. And I hope today that you can say 100% sure, I know for sure that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. Pastor said you're going to be talking about eschatology and the end times. And that's always exciting to me about what's going to happen. I think we're getting closer to the end times all the time. But knowing for sure Jesus Christ is your Savior. What a joy. What a privilege to be a soldier. And then he says, the interesting, those have all been defensive weapons. The only offensive weapon he gives us in verse 17, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, the soldier, he's prepared. He's got the belt of truth. He's got the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. He's got the helmet to protect him against the enemy. But he says we've got to have one offensive weapon, and that's the word of God. You know, it's not our strength. It's not our charisma. It's not anything about us personally. It's the word of God that's going to help us defeat the enemy. I think this happens, and I know in my life, sometimes I get to the point where, you know, I have all these things. Went to Bible college, went to seminary, have all these things. And sometimes I go into the battle and think I can do it in my own strength. And you know what? That's usually when defeat comes. It's like, what was I thinking? We can't go against this enemy in our own strength. We need the word of God. We need to. One of the things I enjoy with our summer staff as they come, we take every morning, we get them up in the morning, and we meet by the campfire, and we have them spend time in the word of God. For 2 straight weeks, I want to help them understand you need the word of God to be a help and a strength to you, because we're facing the enemy. And so he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 talks about that word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's what God wants us to take, his word. Here's the question. How much time do you spend in the word? That's our enemy. That's how we fight the enemy. That's our weapon to fight the enemy. But so many times we just leave it on the shelf closed up. And God says, I want you to open the word. I want it to impact your life. And it's more than just reading it. Sometimes I'll go through and just read it. But you know, lately it's been applying it. How does that fit into my life? How do I apply the word of God? And so he wants you to be a prepared soldier. 4 defensive, 1 offensive weapon. And then I think it's kind of neat too. He kind of throws in a secret weapon. Look at verse number 18. Praying. Always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so he says, make sure this soldier that's all prepared, make sure there's a part of prayer. Pray for what God will help you to do. It's kind of as we have our summer staff come, and part of training I have them share with how God brought them to Camp Chautauqua. And many times the kids will say, well, Pastor Randy asked me to pray about it. And you know what? It's neat to see that God does work through prayer. We had a theme one time and on prayer. And one of my, she's a daughter-in-law now. She came up to me. Julie said, Pastor Randy, do you like my Gap sweatshirt? Well, I don't like all the trends that are out there. I said, not really. Why? She goes, well, it stands for our theme. Gap stands, in her mind, God answers prayer. So now every time I see a Gap sweatshirt anywhere, all I think about is God answers prayer. I saw one, Gap London. Yeah, God answers prayer in London too. Okay, but God answers prayer. And you know, I just encourage you to pray. I remember when I was at Maranatha a few years ago, a long time ago, okay? But it's over 40 years ago. And as we were training, and there's something about when you go, grew up in Michigan. So I go from Michigan over to Wisconsin to go to Bible college. And so I was in Bible college for 4 years, went to 1 year graduate school. And I had this mentality that as soon as I finish Bible college, as soon as I finish it, I'm getting as far away from Watertown as possible. Okay, there's something about this is a college town. I'm not staying in this town. And so when the pastor of the church in Watertown came to me and said, hey, would you consider being our youth pastor at Watertown, Wisconsin, the same place Maranatha is, what do you think I said? No. Okay, real spiritual answer, okay? That was what I wanted. And then my pastor said this, would you pray about it? Well, sure, I'll pray about it. And so I prayed about it for a week, and it was funny, I was reading in 2 Samuel, in chapter 12, it says, and Joab took the city of Waters. I'm thinking, no, God, you do not speak that directly. I'm not staying in Watertown, okay? And so I continued for the next 10 days. I got to chapter 22, and it says, as for God, his way is perfect. And the Lord used that verse in prayer to direct us to stay in Watertown and be the youth pastor there. And we're thankful we did. We enjoyed it, 21 years there. I remember in January of 2004, John Terpstra was the interim director. The director had resigned at Camp Shattuck. And so he contacts me and he said, you know, we had been in Watertown 21 years. We now have 6 children. We just bought the parsonage from the church on January 15th of 2004. 21 years living in the parsonage. We finally buy our first house. And then the camp contacts me and said, would you come and be our director? What do you think I said? No. Okay, again, selfish. I'm not going to do this. And then Pastor Terpstra said this, would you pray about it? Well, of course, I'll pray about it. So I prayed about it. I wasn't reading in 2 Samuel, so I thought I was okay. I was reading in Psalm. And I got to Psalm 18, and it's about verse 10. It says, and he drew him out of many waters. Okay. I think, Lord, you do not speak that directly, okay? I put it off. And then I got to verse 30, and it says, as for God, his way is perfect. And I wrote in my Bible, January 2004, Camp Shattuck. But both times, I remember someone said, would you pray about it? And you know, I'm so glad I did. Because God directed through prayer and through his word. And just encourage you, yeah, you're in a battle. And you say, yeah, I may be a good soldier, and I look like a soldier. But make sure you pray about it and ask God for that help. I call it the secret power, the power of prayer. Because we're in a battle. We have an enemy. But here's the great news. God wants you to be the victor. Because he wants us to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that it may impact lives for all of eternity. Are you prepared to be that soldier? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the truth of it, a familiar passage of scripture, but as we take time to look at these truths, that we might be a prepared soldier, prepared for the battle. And then God, that makes sure that prayers are part of it. Because we have a great God that wants to direct and guide in our lives, wants to give us strength if we depend upon him. Bless this church and the pastor and Ben as they lead the church, that you'll use them to impact this community for Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.